Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it's Beats of Sportive. John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
And we've also got Chicken Fingers 69.
Hey, Chicken. Oh, Brandon. What's up?
There. Close. Almost. John's going off video. Okay. That means we all go off video. That's how this works. Okay. So this is the newcomers edition of the sport of number 328. The first one we have to start with is Carl Correa. John, you fully at midnight on this one?
Well, on the one hand, it's surprising because the Twins don't do a lot of signing of possibly the best player in baseball kind of guys. Mm-hmm. Best shortstop in baseball, right? People generally agree on that?
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he certainly could be in the mix for All-Star MVP, right?
Right. So it's surprising on that account. But setting that to one side, it's also kind of not surprising because when they made that series of ridiculous moves, we talked about this a lot last time, but
oh yeah,
when they made that series of ridiculous moves where they traded for guys and then immediately traded them away. But I think most specifically when they traded NASCAR bad boy Chase Petty away for 45-year-old Sonny Gray, that was sort of a sign that they said, all right, we're not going to do the thing where we're trying to be terrible now but good later. We're gonna try to be good now. And so I think for that week or whatever it was, that was the most confusing part of, if you're going to trade for bad players like Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela, why did you trade your number one pick for last year? And ultimately the whole thing made sense, but coming up to that week in between was just a very confusing week.
Yeah, we're past it now. So now we're here. Let me ask you, I guess we're never going to have an answer on this one. Maybe I'll ask Chicken. Do you think this was their plan all along?
No, I don't in any way believe this was their plan. Otherwise, details of it would have leaked out. Like the Trevor Story details had, we all knew that they were pursuing him and something they must not have. There must have been a reason they didn't agree. This had to be a late arriving possibility. Yeah. Otherwise, there would have been at least some smoke circling. Nobody even whispered that this was a possibility. Nothing.
No. So let's run back the timeline. And it's probably going to be an incorrect timeline. But generally, at the end of the year or sometime during the lockout, the Polads calling from the set of like Lithuania on their film, whatever they're working on, called and said, here's your budget for the year, right? Like, here's your salary cap. It's $140 million, $130 million. The Aaron Gleemans and the Twins geeks and the Nick Nelsons of the world seem like very confident of kind of where they're going to land salary cap wise, which is very impressive how good they are at that sort of stuff. So they knew they've got this amount of dollars spent. So the boy geniuses decided they were going to go for it, decided to do the Sonny Gray thing. At some point in there, they knew they were kind of circling among a few shortstops and they were confident enough to get rid of Josh Donaldson. Is that, and they just kind of hoped it would all, because it could have been an absolute disaster, right? This feels like, whew, this guy saved us. Or yes, they were going to pay just over the top for Trevor Story. Like that was just maybe the two options. There doesn't seem to be a third. No other savior was coming around, right?
There's not a starting pitcher on the market that they're like, okay, if these two shortstops don't pan out, we'll just we'll pay for, we need a starter too. Let's just, we'll go, that's option C or D, or maybe two starters. There's nobody even worth, even in the same stratosphere.
Because while we were in purgatory, there was like Grinke got signed, who could have been fine. Mm-hmm. Pineda, who's been kind of up and down, but still, like, I was never like mad when he was starting for the Twins. And he got signed as well. And it was just, yeah, that week, what a trying week for all of us.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was enough. If you read between the lines from some of the articles that got written about the Donaldson train, it seemed like somebody in the front office was trying to lay a little bit of groundwork for a, well, this was an addition by subtraction kind of move. There were a lot of sort of words being used like abrasive or difficult or that sort of thing, where it seemed like somebody out there was telling somebody that, you know, this Josh Donaldson guy just really, really, really a tough guy to be around.
Mm-hmm. Hinting at it. Sure.
So it seemed like they were at least a little bit prepared to just, instead of treating it as a salary dump that didn't work out because they didn't manage to sign either of the guys they wanted to get, it seemed like they were doing a little bit of work just to say, well, actually we just got rid of him because I don't know, didn't have a candy bowl on his desk.
Yeah.
I wonder what the motivation was for Correa to do a deal like this, because it's kind of a goofy one, right? It's most likely going to be just 1 year. Mm-hmm. Was he not getting the offers that he wanted? And if so, why not? Or is it just he and his people are confident enough in more money being around to throw around next season? This seemed to make the most sense.
With the lockout, maybe they were reading like, okay, this just was poorly timed. Our free agency year came at a poor time. Let's take a 1 year deal. Next year, there won't be a lockout and teams will have more cost certainty. There's more money coming into the game with new TV deals. Let's wait a year and we'll go back next year.
And if that's break your leg, the insurance of, if you break your leg, you just get to make $30 million the next year while sitting on your ass.
You'll be fine. Yeah, but that's the chance.
It's a great deal for Correa. It's all upside, no downside.
Yeah, great.
Relatively little. Yeah.
If he's terrible, he just sticks around two more years and he gets paid $105 million.
And he'll just say, yeah, the Twins organization's terrible. I was bad because they were bad.
Right.
And the rest of the league will be like, yeah, that checks out.
That tracks.
Sure. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Well, here's your money.
I think there were probably a lot of headwinds for Correa, not least that Scott Boras is his agent right now, and pretty much every owner already hated Scott Boras, but now they're blaming him for being the driving force behind the players not accepting everything they were told at the start of the lockout and that sort of thing. So being a Scott Boras client, I mean, you could probably look at 49 Scott Boras clients have already gotten signed to huge contracts or something like that. But there were also like 7 shortstops on the market that were really good. So I think a lot of teams probably decided, you know, instead of giving Carlos Correa $300 million, we can get a percentage of that by giving Javier Baez less than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the money that Trevor Story got is nowhere near what Correa was going to even deserves, actually. Right? He is legitimately could have been a 7-year, $200 million contract, whereas Story was, what, 6-for-120 or 30 or something. So I guess it does make sense there was just nobody out there to throw that money around. He thinks it's more likely to happen next year.
I really have totally lost track for what a good contract is in baseball now.
I don't. Oh, that's a great call. Clue. I have none, zero. Like, if they sign him for like $17 million, I'd be like,
Soto. Who was it that got 10 years, $330 million, or whatever?
I wouldn't know. I have no idea.
Is it Fernando Tatis?
Yeah, that could be right. Well, you said Soto, Acuna, whatever.
The first one. The first one or the second one? Tatis Jr. or Senior? Because I don't know. I really have no idea.
If anybody gave Fernando Tatis Sr. a $330 million contract, it's definitely the Angels.
He had 2 grand slams in one inning.
You can't buy that kind of production.
Before we hop off Carlos Correa, can I make, I am known for making horrible analogies. Maybe I'm more, I'm known for a number of bad things, but
they're poetic.
I am going to
poetic.
They're just so they're horrible. And I'm going to take another stab at one. They're so, this is strained, but I'm going to do it anyways. For years, decades, even I've been begging the Twins to spend money on pitching, find high end pitching, trade for high end pitching, spend money on pitching, pitching, and money. Those are the two things I've been begging for. Spend your money and spend it on pitching. For years, decades even, I have been begging my parents, my father specifically, to get a cabin. Everybody I know has a cabin. Dad, you love fishing. You love drinking beer. You love being up north. Get a cabin. Mm-hmm. Spend some money and go get a cabin. The Twins signing Carlos Correa would be like my dad getting a 1 year VRBO on Lake of the Isles. Like, yeah, it's kind of, okay. I mean, it's kind of like, it's not a lit.
If I squint, I can.
What? You did what now? Like,
so I was gonna say it like was
in the right direction. It's closer well, to what you wanted.
Like that's kind of, it's on a lake and I can drink a beer out here, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's not really what I meant either. Like, I don't know, and it's 1 year and it's not really like could have spent that money on something else. I don't know.
So you have always been, I just want a crazy pitching staff. Something about the Moneyball A's with Mulder and Zito and Hudson, just something broke you. Is that the time where you were like, that's what, or the Braves? Maddox and Avery. And
I think it was the Braves. Yeah. It's the 90s. Okay, so you face that, you know, one guy, and then let's say you miraculously beat him.
Yeah.
Okay, now the next day you got to face another guy.
Smoltz, wait, just Maddox.
Love that. And we just had Clavin. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, that's it. And there's nobody that's like Bailey Ober. Fuck, we just beat Bailey Ober. Now we got to face Dylan Bundy. Oh, what the hell are we gonna
Murderers
do?
Row.
Nobody's, like. Yeah, so every nine times you have to face Carlos Correa, that's okay. But I've always wanted them to spend some money on pitching, and instead they got a Airbnb on Nokomis.
Yep, a timeshare in Noah's Ark.
I don't know.
At Wisconsin Dells. You're like, well, yeah, there's water there. It's a water park, though. It's
it's not.
You can't boat.
Really, that's maybe a better. Strained analogy, over. Finn, that's it. That's all I got. I don't know if it fits or not. But
No, we did have your dream for 6 months or so when Johan and Liriano were absolutely dealing, and it had to make everybody else just the most horrified team. Just didn't even matter who the third was at that point. The 1-2 punch was.
Oh, he had that split finger. Who's that guy that? Threw like 70 pitches a game. He threw like 70 pitches in 9 innings. He'd give up 4 runs every time. He had the split finger. He threw
Carlos Silva.
It was
Carlos Silva.
Silva. That's it. Silva. Yeah. That's the guy. That was number 3, I believe.
He got excited, threw a ball in the upper deck, and Gardenhier was very mad at him. Don't you dare do that again.
I think more because you might poke a hole in the Metrodome. It wasn't this is like a
very, very precarious.
This is a fragile stadium.
Have you ever left this place? Like it sucks you straight out. Not you, because he weighed like 270 pounds. But
yeah, he had no idea.
He was a building, but
his
like
children though were like down First Avenue, rolling like tumbleweeds.
wasn't that fun?
Oh like, yeah,
it was fun.
And maybe you won 2-0 on. A Carlos or a Christian Guzman, like 8 chopper up the middle that he beat out. That's how you won, but you won.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great feeling. I know it's I just broken record, but yeah, I thought they would have a little bit more stable pitching. And in some ways I can kind of understand the philosophy that I kind of have myself of, it's just such a fickle position. You look at the best pitchers 4 years ago, there's a pretty good chance that some of them are injured or ineffective or out of baseball. Carlos Silva is a great example. Something sort of happened with that sinker and he immediately was useless. Just a terrible pitcher. Joe Mays. Remember Joe Mays was amazing for 4 months. So I can maybe understand a philosophy or a strategy from an organization of like, yeah, we're not going to do long-term. We're going to kind of, you know, lightning in a bottle sort of thing. But like you got to have guys on the team that are able to start just in general. Like you have to have people who could potentially, they don't even have the option for lightning in a bottle right now. They don't have a bottle.
And I don't like complaining about it. The signing either, because I'm happy they spent the money. It's not a complaint. It's just, I'm happy about the Noah's Ark timeshare. Thank you. We will use it and it's great. It's not really what I was after.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I will
say this. In baseball over the last few years has become defined by there being like 10 teams that are trying to win and 20 teams that are actively trying to lose because that's what all the smart guys say, that you lose as much as you possibly can and then you'll get better draft picks or whatever and you can improve that way. And it's nice to see the Twins being one of those rare teams that kind of isn't that good. But just because they're missing, they've got holes in a couple of positions and maybe don't have quite enough pitching. So many other teams just sort of pack it in and are like, all right, here's all our good players. We're going to get rid of all of them and we're going to absolutely stink for 5 years. And it's nice that the Twins chose the other path and said, actually, let's try to get some better players and just try to be good.
Well, and there's another layer of teams that, so there's teams that are trying to be good. There are teams that are like doing the Sam Hinkie process mode of like super tanking and trying to turn it back around that way. I think there's a bunch of other teams who are doing like, what is that musical? The Producers, where they're like, actually, we can just make a shitload of money by being bad always, constantly being bad. We're not even going to try to be good. I don't think ever again, like the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
When is the last time they tried in any capacity to be good? They're just not happening. So, yeah, it could be way, way, way worse.
I'm for many.
I have not. I'm sure this angle has been discussed. I haven't seen it. Is there a thought out there that if the Twins suck, has this kind of trade ever happened, like a Carlos Correa level 1 year, big contract at the trade deadline, a team that needs a shortstop? What could the Twins flip? I'm already talking about trading the guy. They just signed him. The honeymoon hasn't even fucking been.
I think it was official. It might be official tomorrow. It's not official even yet. You're already talking. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll stop. I'm done. I won't talk about it. Be happy, people. Seriously. Enjoy the signing. I'm sorry to shit on this thing. I really am. I'm happy.
With this pitching staff, that has to come across these guys' mind of like, all right, if this gets bad, I don't know though. I've never really seen I haven't been paying that close of attention, as I admitted last week, of baseball recently. I've not seen a contract really structured this way. So I don't know like how tradable it is. It seems very tradable, of course.
Maybe it's got a no trade clause in it. I haven't read that to that detail. I have no idea.
Right.
It may have a no trade clause.
It would be a real weird move to sign a contract with opt outs after every year, but also demand a no trade clause.
Like, I'm not committed to this team very long, but I definitely need to be here for one full season. I just don't even think about it.
All right. Wait, I'm done talking about the trade. I'm sorry. I brought it up. I'm just thinking of people like that were excited about this and they're just Like, what? Just shut the fuck up, chicken.
Chicken. yeah. But remember, we talked about it last week that the smart guy, Fangraphs, and there's a couple other projections think the Twins are going to be good. I just want to point out again, I still have no fucking idea how that's going to happen with this pitching staff. I do not know who's starting for them. It's Randy Dobnak's involved.
And they're talking about how great Randy Dobnak looks. It's common core math.
You know, I mean,
I don't get it. Like how, what?
I fell for it last year. I was reading the blogs and the what have yous, and we did our bros and turds. And I was like, you know who I've been reading a lot about this spring? Randy fucking Dobnak. He's my bro. He pitched 4 innings, gave up 17 home runs. We never heard from him again. I think it's just because he's got that funny mustache. That's why he gets all the positive press from the
Uber,
from the Hawaiian shirt dorks down there. I love you guys.
Uber driver. No, you're right.
There was the one story I've read about Randy Dobnak this spring was how he's got an injury in his hand to like the ligaments connecting his hand to his fingers. And it was rare enough that he had to start sort of figuring out how to treat this injury himself by like going in, I assume just going onto Google and typing it in, which you have to say speaks real well of the Twins medical staff. That they were like, I don't know, type something into Google, see what you got.
WebMD.
See if you can figure something out. Apparently it's something that happens to rock climbers a lot.
So, go down to the CVS, ask the gal at the counter.
Pharmacy. So pharmacy will help you.
They Google stuff just like the rest of us do. John, isn't that what you said? That's actually what the IT people are doing every time you call the IT desk.
Yeah.
Just Googling while you're talking.
I don't think people realize that. And I need everyone to understand when you call the help desk at your company and you're like, hey, this is happening with whatever program you're talking about. It could be a program. It could be your computer or whatever. And they're asking you for more information. It's not because they're like a car mechanic diagnosing your car and they just got to select from all these things in their brain that they know about. They need you to say enough words that they can type something into Google and then look up something that they can try to figure out for you. That's all they got.
That's the Twins medical staff.
That's the Twins medical staff. I went to the doctor one time and he looked at it and he was like, all right, I think hold on. And he left the room and he came back with a printout from WebMD.
That's
I never went to that doctor again.
Hold on. Just hold on. And it's like the DOS printer. Yeah. It's the old the little frayed things on the side that you got to tear off, the little tabs on each side of the paper.
Oh my God.
I can hear that sound in my head. Ah, the old dot matrix printer.
Dot matrix. That's what
we can all laugh at it, and nobody that's any younger than any of us.
Nobody listens to a pod. Nobody young enough to listen to podcasts.
If you know how to listen to this podcast, you don't remember dot matrix printers. Although I guess with our podcast, I might be the youngest person that listens to our podcast. So,
yeah, that's true. Definitely. Do you think podcasts as like a vehicle or a channel are going to just sort of age along with us and only be used by our age? And there's a certain age where people are like, I would never do a podcast. Absolutely. There's probably so many better ways to get your, you know, if we were like all 15 years younger, this would all be just sort of TikToks.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It would just be TikTok videos somehow.
And it takes us an hour and a half to get out a point that actually could be a nicely edited, like 30-second couple takes.
We'd be like playing Minecraft on Twitch and talking about sports while we do that.
Right.
Nobody's going to listen to this podcast.
No.
It's under the age of 40.
They're going to die with us. And it will never be a podcast again.
Yeah, that's happening.
We might be the last ones. This could be it.
40 years from now, we're the last people doing a podcast.
I mean, John,
125-year-old John Bonas is calling up gleaming in the middle of the night to do a podcast, but that's it.
John, are you 40?
Yeah, I am 40.
You might be the youngest podcaster I know.
I might.
Everybody else,
I don't know. You know a lot of white dads. I think you probably know a lot of podcasters.
So many. That's all I know. Too many. Some would say too many. Okay, moving on. The other newcomer, this is the newcomer edition podcast, Joe Smith. Something called Joe Smith has been signed with the Twins. Kind of a slow throwing sidearm relief pitcher.
Is he a sidearmer or a submariner? Sidearmer, meh, submariner. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, my notes said sidearmer, but I hope I'm wrong. I would love if it was a submariner.
I would love a submariner.
That is better. But the Aaron Gleemans of the world seem happy about it. So,
well, they need any and all relief pitchers. So,
yeah. If you had to predict on which you do, March 22nd, 9:43 p.m., is there more coming for the Twins?
No.
No.
What significance?
There could be like, they signed some guy to a minor league contract.
No, minor league contracts. A major league guaranteed contract.
No, it's over.
You think it's over?
But a sixth reliever, a number four righty out of the pen, something along those lines. I don't see them trading for the number two starter.
Fuck.
Number three starter. Those A's guys that everybody's talking about, the A's gonna hold on to them until the deadline.
God. Yeah.
But Marc-Andre Fleury plays for the Wild. Carlos Correa plays for the Twins. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Weird shit, man. It's the end times.
The end times.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited about Carl Correa. He hits bombs. He's huge. Good. Think about what we had to deal with last year. Andrelton Simmons. Just one of the least fun guys. And we've had some, and we've walked through it. We've had some shitty players. This is such a huge upgrade. He's David Kahn. And this is Sachin Gupta. That's who he is. No, it's not that. He's Sam Hinkie. It's David Kahn to Sam Hinkie. That's my.
Oh my God. Wow. You're.
What's the matter with you?
Who is this? The biggest one season talent gap jump in Minnesota sports history?
Disparity champion. Yeah.
Who was the starting quarterback for the Vikings in 08?
If only there was a way for us to look something like Gus Farad.
I'm not looking at
Warren Moon.
Was it?
No.
And how good was that person? Because
that Dante Culpepper
would have been a rather. He was kind of like 05, wasn't he?
Could have been.
No shit. My
Holy
brain,
fucking brain shit, you guys. Mush. I just looked this up. It was Gus Farad.
It was Gus Farad.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
I don't even.
Good job. Was he good?
No, dude.
He couldn't have been
Gus Farad.
He sucked. He had 12 touchdowns and 15 interceptions.
Is this a bigger jump? Or was Gus. So was Andrelton Simmons to Carlos Correa a larger jump than Farad to Favre?
Yeah, because Favre was really, it's not just nostalgia talking. He was like, he was really good that year, right? I mean, because their team was really good.
Awesome. Very, very good. The NFC champ. I mean, they were obviously one Sean Payton cheat away from going to the Super Bowl. Like he, and it was because of Favre and I guess AP, but
33 touchdowns, seven interceptions. That's a very good year. AP was good, but 1,400 yards is good, but it's not. Yeah, it was far.
Wasn't MVP worthy. Yeah, so
it just.
I wonder if this is a bigger jump. That's got to be the biggest. It's either this is one and two in some order. Is there anything even close that we're not talking about? Who the DH before Tony? I'm just trying to think of free agents who had big seasons in their first year.
But even those guys, like Favre was 40 by the time he got here. Tomey was 40 by the time he got here. Those are amazing Hall of Fame players, but they were certainly coming to the end of their careers. There hasn't been anybody like Correa that's in the middle of their career.
Right. That was found money, both those guys.
No. Yes. Not the same circumstance. Absolutely. Although Favre was its own circus.
I mean, honestly, the closest you might come is like Parisian Suter that summer.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call.
Huge upgrades, but they certainly were the biggest free agents on the market, and the Wild signed them both.
The biggest free agents. That's a different. I mean, and Favre was,
again,
I think,
I'm not,
in that same
but that's
territory.
The closest thing.
No, but as far as just talent disparity, it's got to be Favre and Correa. 1-2.
Yep.
In some order.
It's all no right. Timberwolves, that's for sure. So.
I just want to today add anybody? When's the trade deadline for them?
Who?
The Wolves.
Oh, long past.
The Timberwolves.
Yeah. It was
The regular season's almost over. I know you're sad, Chicken. But it's getting near the end.
Did they add anybody?
No. At the deadline, they did not do anything. Why would they mess this up?
Why mess with the perfect
What kind game? Of insane person would trade anything?
Listen, when you got the 14th best team in basketball, you can't mess with that.
John, come on. They're like 12th.
I just want to, since we're on
all
the
this
subject,
negativity in this town just sucks.
I want to read you the list of Vikings quarterbacks between Dante Culpepper and we'll end it with Teddy Bridgewater. Between Dante Culpepper and Teddy Bridgewater, there was Favre in the middle, but here's the rest of them. Brad Johnson, who was 49 years old at that point, Tavares Jackson, Gus Frerotte, Christian Ponder, Castle.
I forgot about Matt
top
Castle.
Quarterback for all
I would never in a million years have remembered that Matt Castle was on our team.
Oh,
how long did he play?
Painful.
Like a couple games?
How long did Castle play?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look here.
Couple games? It wasn't a whole season.
You mean for
he
the,
was on the,
for the
he was on the team for two seasons.
Holy shit.
he started six games 1 year and three the next year. But one year was enough for enough for him to be the guy that had threw the most passes that year. Ponder was also on the team. Oh, that was the year that Josh Freeman started one game too.
Oh boy.
Oh my lord.
Yeah.
That was bad at New York.
That's I remember where I was for that one. Ooh. I bet a lot of people don't. You're not going to forget that. Okay, let's move on. I need to get some thoughts about the new Vikings linebacker. Is it Za'Darius Smith?
I don't know. The only good thing I heard about him was that he played a lot last year. Like he led the league in snaps or something, which seems like it'd be a downside for a football player. Like you want them to be as, you want him to have as few miles on the odometer as possible, I would think.
Right. You think he's got tired legs and maybe a concussion.
Maybe a concussion. He's got 50 concussions. He's a football player.
Okay. I was hoping for a little more excitement here. He's not like a difference maker.
I mean, he's a linebacker.
Yeah, there. Right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pretty interchangeable.
It's hard to get excited about the linebacking core. I'm not saying it's not possible. It's just hard.
Chicken, do you have any good news about the Vikings? This guy's fits into our system. Maybe Ed.
Yeah.
Ed, you know, old Ed, our defensive coordinator, could use a guy like
Donatello?
This.
Maybe
Ed Donatello.
I think it portends. I think it it signifies that they are just going to spend a lot of resources on defense, which is fine. I got nothing to. I'm giving Camilla Parker Bowles and the new head coach a lot of the new GM and the new coach a lot of rope. I'm kind of letting them be. Whatever. Once we snap the football, and we'll see where we're at. But I'm trying to turn over a new.
You're leaning disaster. On like a little like bit this, of a yeah, like boy genius.
It's a disaster.
Who yeah. the fuck these guys yes. think they are? Yeah.
Smells like that, but I pray I'm wrong. Yes.
Well, you're known to adapt. Goosey, you know.
Yeah, give people a lot. Here is what I'm leaning on. The difference between them, and we talked about this last time, was I think that the Twins got on the boy genius analytical hire young smart guys bandwagon too late. Right. That
yeah, they missed
the barrel had been picked up. It'd been picked over. It's the bargain bin was down to just nothing, a pair of pliers. And where the Vikings, my hope is that they are on the front end of the wave and they are getting the best of the best. And everybody will try to collect.
Right.
That's my hope.
Yeah, the Twins waited.
In the meantime, whatever moves they make.
Twins were at the bar. They were looking around. They kept looking around. Finally, at like 155, they're like, all right, maybe you.
Hey, good analogy. Brandon,
lights are kind of turning on.
Strong analogy.
Yeah, right. And we're hoping the Vikings. This is like
strained analogy.
It's like 10:45. Lights are off. Like the bottle
Redstone
service. Yeah, just kind of got started.
Yeah,
they're looking to make their move. They're not here to fuck around. Like I'm at Redstone. I'm here to do some business. Like I'm not here on accident, right? This shirt didn't just get on me by mistake. Like, this is my best leopard print shirt. Let's do this.
Yep.
I'm ready to commit.
Polo is 10 squirts of polo red are not going to go to waste.
That's right. 10 squirts and Redstone.
That's a great analogy.
Service. Yeah.
Love it. Yep.
Apt.
Apt. APT. Apt.
All right. So that's our.
So I'm letting it be.
All right. Yeah. We'll give him a little bit of time. I'm with you, though, by the way. And
me?
I, yeah, you chicken.
Really?
I'm not happy about this Kirk Cousins business in any regard. I know they talked themselves into it. I get it. It's just an impossible thing to summarize Kirk Cousins unless you've been here for it. Mm-hmm. And the old commies. Washington commies knew it as well, and they were right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been settled with this for years. And it's just, I get it. On paper, it makes no sense. And usually I'm the guy that goes, the paper is right. I don't care what your eyes are telling you. Mm-hmm. The paper is right. I think he is my one glaring exception to the paper. I think the paper is wrong, and I can't watch him anymore. I just can't do it. So these guys are my enemy. Till further notice.
Wow. They are everything you wanted. Mm-hmm. Everything to the T.
Yeah.
You were begging for this type of GM and coaching combo. This is exactly what you wanted.
I was the person and with now, the 10 squirts.
Yes. And you brought her home.
I'm the 10 squirt guy.
And now I am necessarily.
I went out to Redstone looking. I had a 3x5 index card with all of what I was looking for in a partner. Mm-hmm.
Boxes.
Mm-hmm. Ivy League.
A bunch of
young. Young. Says yeah. big words at press conferences. Smiles a lot. Says yes, analytics.
That, he personable, like they say he cares about people. He'll ask you how your day is.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got the M&Ms in a bowl on the
desk. He's the smartest analytical guy, but he goes, "Oh, it's not just about that. It's more than that. That's just a component. It's just a little bit of what I do. It's a whole package." I was ready.
You would have taken, you just wanted skinny jeans, skinny pants, like tight mm-hmm. pants,
yeah.
skinny jeans. You would have yeah. taken just skinny jeans. He wears like salmon colored skinny jeans, like
that are water.
You couldn't like yeah. odd colors.
I went up to him. I had my key fob in my hand, and before I said a word, I hit the remote start button and stared at him and said, "I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Let's go. I'm ready.
And
I'm committed.
You're not even home. You pulled out a Redstone, so you're on like Eden Prairie Drive.
Yep.
You're not even on 494 yet.
No, heading east. Yeah, just trying to. I'm on Dell Road, maybe. Are you on Dell Road or Pioneer Trail?
You're on Pioneer Trail. Yep. I don't know which way you're going east because you're yep. not going west. What are you fucking? Was this Lion's Tap? No, we're not. we're gonna go. You live in a well acquainted townhome,
mm-hmm.
Condo. I should say on like yep. 12th floor. Yeah. You're not even close. You can't even see the condo and you're already like, get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Is just constantly talking about where he got the salmon pants and what price they were. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. I thought that was just like a component. And now you're just like, continue to tell me the deal you got on the salmon pants. Yeah. I did have salmon pants on the index card, but that's just focusing on the wrong things. I don't care.
And it's like, just Dave Matthews comes on. He's, I love this.
Oh my God.
And he just cranked it. Yep. Just cranked it.
Oh. Yeah. Max volume. DMB.
Have
you seen these guys in concert? Have you seen these guys? Oh.
I'm at Red Rocks.
I actually, you know what? I would know because I've been in every concert. I would have seen you. I would have seen you there.
I'm sorry.
You never been to Somerset? You gotta go. You gotta go.
I'm just so shocked. You gave them no time. You gave them no rope. All it took was re-signing Kirk Cousins and you're out. You're yeah. done with them. Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll turn it around once he goes. My heart will be back open. I'll just more squirts coming.
I can't believe it. Well, I can't believe you're out already. They're everything you wanted. But, and I'm the patient one. I'm the one giving rope. What the hell is happening?
Yep. Yep. Well, that's that. All right. Should we move on to the main event?
Sure.
And newcomer edition. 2 hours
into the podcast. It's John, time for the main event.
John, you ready? I want to hear about, I think I've got this right. Is it Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yes, it is.
Well, let's hear about him and who anybody else the Wild got. You guys can take over. But I think this felt like to me like a somewhat seismic event in Wild World.
Well, I mean, it was seismic in the sense like we talked about it last week. And I asked Chicken what the chances are that they trade for Fleury.
Oh, you did. You're right.
He said 5% because mm-hmm. it just didn't seem that likely. It really didn't seem like the Wild were going to have the kind of assets that they could give up for what could potentially just be a rental guy for the next 10 games, basically, or 20 games, basically. And what turned out happening, I actually think I'm very impressed by this swap that the Wild basically made here, because they had a guy, they had the draft rights to a guy named Jack McBain, who played at BU, I want to say, Chicken.
BC,
right?
No, BC.
BC. He was coming out of college, pretty coveted guy, and he did not want to play for the Wild because he felt they had too many centers, which is It's like not wanting to live in the Twin Cities because it's too warm in the winter. It's the exact opposite of what anybody would say about it. But for whatever reason, Jack McBain was like, no, they got too many centers. I'm not going to get a fair shake there. I want to go somewhere else. So knowing that they had sort of a time limit to get this deal done and make it worth its while to McBain and to a lot of people, the Wild took the coldest move possible and traded him to Arizona, which of all the destinations you can go to, I hope Jack McBain likes that one. I hope he likes the Arizona, obviously, he gets to live there. So we talked on this podcast about how much we love Arizona, but boy, that's a bad hockey team. But the reason that I think they were so strongly in the market is that somehow Arizona, through all of dealing away all their good players, had accumulated 5 second-round picks for this year's draft, which even for a team like Arizona that has no talent, is probably too many guys to have coming through at once. So they could pretty well afford to dump a second-round pick to the Wild for a guy who has never played before. And so the Wild got the second round pick. It's Vancouver's second round pick. Vancouver's pick is going to be probably in the 10 to 15 range. So that would put it, what, about 45th in the draft, something like that. The Wild, by all accounts, the Blackhawks wanted a first round pick for Marc-Andre Fleury, but Fleury also had a no trade clause. And so he had some say in where he went. He's in Chicago now. His family's in Chicago. And so one of the rare places he was willing to go was Minnesota. And eventually the Blackhawks GM, who seems to be a real clown by all accounts, eventually, I think, concluded that he was going to have to take what he could get. And the Wild agreed to a trade where they would give them a second rounder, their second rounder, not the one they got from Arizona, but their second rounder. And if Fleury wins more than 4 games in the playoffs and they make the conference finals, then it becomes the Wild's first rounder. But you have to remember that if the Wild make the Western Conference Finals, then their first rounder is going to be right at the back 4 picks of the first round. So in the worst case scenario for this trade, not only are the Wild in the Conference Finals, but they've given away a pick that's like 20 picks worse than the one they just got for Jack McBain, who never played for them. So honestly, trading Jack McBain for Marc-Andre Fleury, a guy who is never going to play for them, for a guy who really could potentially help their goaltending, that's a pretty good trade right there. That's a hard trade to beat.
It worked out well. I think the reason that we talked about why it was so unlikely is, like, the day that we talked about it, Garen, the big quote out there was, he said, "You can't trade your way out of your troubles." And everybody knew that goaltending was their troubles. I mean, he was basically screaming to everybody, "I'm not trading for Fleury. You can't trade your way out of trouble." And then he went and traded to address their biggest troubles. So he kind of went against, which I'm fine with, like, whatever, it's just a quote, who cares? It still seems to be a smart trade. Then they took what would then be their third string goalie and traded him to San Jose for, I think it's a significant move. That Middleton guy, yeah, Jacob Middleton,
absolutely,
they needed a big, this guy's like 230 and just an absolute, like, he's just a piece of steel. I mean, it looks like hitting like a freaking dump truck or something. He's enormous. He's
got Randy Dobnak's mustache too.
His stick is about 400 feet long. He played with like Erik Karlsson. So he played like 21 minutes a game with Erik Karlsson. So he basically played by himself, because Karlsson, all he does is takes the puck and just goes. He's just gone. He's up getting popcorn. He's got the puck. He's up getting nachos. He's like playing the organ with the puck. Like, where are you going? I guess I'll just be back here by myself.
Practicing doing the lacrosse pickup behind the other team's net while they're rushing the puck down.
I worked at a gas station with a guy like that. Like, we were supposed to be there together, and like, he'd just take off. Like, where did Steve go? Like, he's supposed to be working right now, and he's gone, and he'd be gone for hours. That's a great move. Like, so they took their third string goalie and turned it into a guy who's probably going to play with either Dumba or Spurgeon. and play like significant minutes in the playoffs. You need a defenseman like that. So,
right.
I think the biggest knock I've heard against him is like, he takes a lot of penalties, maybe more than normal, but in the playoffs, nobody calls penalties. So who gives a shit? Like, that's what they got him for.
The league's refereeing is garbage. So you can just count on that.
Yeah. Then they got this Delorier guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we skipping ahead to?
I just wanted to say about Middleton. That's another example of Guerin turning a guy that he wasn't going to use into an asset.
Mm-hmm. Spare parts. That's right.
This is the exact opposite of like Paul Fenton. Remember that year at the trade deadline, Paul Fenton had Eric Staal, who he was trying to move. He couldn't figure out a way to move him, so he gave him a contract extension instead.
that's the
exact opposite of this.
I know it. So then Guerin also added this Delorier character, who's like the definition of a character, right? He's like a cartoon character. I heard him described as smelling salts, like a human smelling salt. He's just like this, again, 240 pounds of just pure energy, scores a goal last night. But maybe the funniest thing I read about him was they asked him about his skills, and he said, I have no skill set. I'm just here to protect.
They said, what's your skill set? He said, what skill set?
Yes. He answered, basically, I'm here to kick the shit out of anybody who looks at Kaprizov sideways.
I know. Trent Fredman Insurance.
One of my favorite tweets I've ever seen was the guy was like, how Kaprizov the biggest asshole in the universe after this? Like, he could take a puck and fire it into the opposing team's bench 400 times in a row. Just a slap shot at the opposing team's coach. And he can get away with it because Delorier is literally on the bench salivating at the opportunity to kill somebody who tries to retaliate against Kaprizov. That's his only job, is he'll put your nose through the back of your head if you get inside it. So Kaprizov is just going to baseball cuts at people's shins. He is going to take baseball cuts at people's heads, and he's going to get away with it. And it's going to be fantastic.
The Delorier move was really a throwback to that one year that Doug Risebro, this is like 20 years ago now, but Risebro decided the Wild weren't tough enough. And so at the same trade deadline, he got like Todd Fedoric and Chris Simon. Like, he was trying to get a team to, go out and really sack Rockridge and Blading Saddles. Just, I remember making a horrible Photoshop of Doug Risebro's head on Hedley Lamarr's body from Blazing
Saddles. That's so stupid. So that was your three. They made three moves. I guess I like all three. I certainly understand all three. And it's like you said, they turned some kind of spare parts into these three assets. So we'll see. How it turns out. I think it's smart. They're good moves.
The best part was the thing they've been aiming at all year is knowing that they're going to salary cap jail over the next couple of years to buy out Parisian Suter. They really had to hold on to their top young guys at all costs. You know, Marco Rossi, not only like Matt Boldy, who's already in the league, but Rossi and Adam Beckman and all these other guys that are young and up and coming, because their tiny entry-level contracts that's what they're going to need to use to fit under the cap. There's just no other way around it. They don't have enough money to spend. So without giving up any of those guys, they made the team better. And they made it better in the one specific area. It's a little hard to look at the goaltending numbers and be too convinced on Fleury because he's not having a great year. But I read, some of the fancy stat guys saying with goaltenders, you really have to look at it over multiple years rather than just a single season, because goalies are goalies. And Fleury won the Vezina last year. So it's hard not to get excited about that.
He was obviously not exaggerating on the worst defensive team in the league. Yeah, like Chicago's defense is horrible. They rank dead last. They are the worst. So
I mean, Chicago is in shambles, but they forgot to play defensemen in like four games this year. Just out there skating three forward lines and no defensemen. So just a disastrous franchise that I think we can all agree hope folds anytime now would be fine with me.
Well, if you were Carlos Silva in your prime, just a ground ball sinker ball pitcher, and you had four Miguel Sano's playing in the infield behind you, your numbers would not be very good. It doesn't mean you're not good. I think you're right. The analytics could point that maybe Fleury will be okay. And then Talbot posted a nice shutout last night. So
I know it really was like, all right, we're talking about making a trade, and you know, Talbot maybe is playing better, maybe is not playing better. But it's basically just like Bill Guerin sitting on the bench holding a pistol to his dog's head or whatever. Like, all right, you let in a goal. I'm going to kill your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a shutout. There you go. It works. System works.
Master.
So what's how are they going to, the two goalies, obviously, is Fleury going to play what percentage of the games moving forward?
I bet it'll be way that their
wild schedule. I'm sure it will be 50-50. They didn't, with their schedule, the way it is, basically they're going to play like, I don't know, a game every other day, if not two games every 3 days. So they have to rotate and keep it even. Otherwise, these old guys will just go right in the ground. Talbot's not a spring chicken either. Right. So it's going to be 50-50. I mean,
what about in the playoffs?
You won't know until the playoffs.
I don't know.
And even then.
You won't know.
Oh, gotcha.
The playoffs, they start spreading out a lot more. You could just ride one guy. So, but who knows? I really don't know what they're going to do. I think Bill's like, we'll deal with that when we get there.
Right.
I would love to have the problem of having two guys who really stood out down the stretch, and we've got to choose one. He'd love to have that problem.
You got to give Fleury credit. Like 2 years ago, not this year when he was in Chicago, but 2 years ago, he was in Vegas and he was splitting time with Robin Lehner. And
that's right.
You would think that they're both sort of number one goalies and they'd be real competitive, but they're like best buddies now.
Yeah, they're like golfing buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're best friends now. Absolutely. Shared Christmas cards.
Yeah. Fleury's just like the best goalie teammate ever. So
that's what they say.
Yeah.
But probably kicked up their finals odds by a percentage point or two this year, right? So nothing like insane, but still very positive moves. And that's good for this sort of team.
I thought I saw something that kicked them up like 7%. Like,
oh, it's great.
Whatever they were before, it went up 7% when they traded for Fleury.
Wow. Okay. So that's even better than I was thinking. That's awesome.
Not like a 7% increase, but it went from, you know, 10 to 17 or whatever. Those numbers are way too high, but you know what I mean?
Yes. I'm trying to look up the percentage right now. 5% chance to win the cup. That's good.
All right. I went from -2 to 5%.
That's right. Exactly.
To make my number
five is good.
Five is good.
Take that.
For the Wild, who are in the same conference as the Avalanche, you have to be about 35%.
13. Florida Panthers are 15.
Oh my gosh.
No.
I don't know. Ekblad got hurt.
Oh, Ekblad got hurt? Oh, it's wide open.
Well, I saw him. He had to like get helped off the ice. I haven't heard what the status is, but it's good. And I hope we play Florida. We'll worry about Florida in June. I can't worry about the East right now.
I would like nothing more than for the Wild to play Carolina in the finals, just because it's definitely going to end with me and Rocket fighting in a parking lot somewhere.
That's halfway. Yep. Franklin, Tennessee.
In the parking lot of a minor league baseball stadium somewhere this summer.
Piggly Wiggly.
Rocket and I just shirts off scrapping.
Champaign, Illinois.
Oh boy. All right. Any other Wild thoughts, Jonathan?
I really enjoy watching Vegas lose six games in a row. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I want to say my favorite part, the trade deadline was an exciting time for Wild fans this year. But what most Wild fans, except for the people that are talking here, missed was having Stu reading Michael Russo's Twitter feed all day and then sending us text messages that were like, my inside sources are saying there's another deal in the works for Capo Cacket. Just absolutely the best bit, and he kept it up the whole day.
It's a source I trust. You gotta believe me on this one. I think this guy's legit.
Well, I'll tell you, it took me a few, because so I was in a Zoom call when all of this stuff went down, and it's not like I get notifications when Russo tweets, right? But I obviously, my phone does beep when Stu texts us. So Stu texts this stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's crazy. But I had no idea that all he's doing is reading off. Like, how does he know this? Does he really know somebody? And then I went back. I'm like, oh, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
Great day. Just a great day for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, it really was. The last thing I had on our newcomers edition agenda. Oh, no, sorry. What do you need, chicken? What do you got?
Nothing really quick, John, you are the one that broke the Flurry news to me over text messaging. It's a pretty good feeling to be the guy that breaks big stuff like that to somebody, you know, isn't it? Like the other person's like, I had no idea.
I honestly was texting. I assumed you knew already because not only do you have your sources on the inside, I just assumed you were doing what I was doing and like refreshing NHL insider Twitter feed. You were actually working, which really gave you a disadvantage, but I the fact that you hadn't said anything yet, I also thought was partially due to your anger that the Wild had another French Canadian guy on the team. Now
I'll tell you, I don't want to give it away on here. I'll tell you in the green room what I was doing when you texted, what kind of meeting I was in, and yeah,
Chicken anyways, was in a meeting with the premier of Quebec.
No, it's not. And it's nothing that interesting with
negotiating a treaty.
And you sharing a screen, and my text popped up on the screen where I was like, sorry, more frogs are on the way.
That's what you told. That's right. I'm like, wait, are we talking about like rain and pestilence? Like, because it's going to be like heavy rain. More frogs on the way.
First game, COVID, now the locusts.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, anyway. Sorry, Brandon. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to wrap up and say the only other newcomer I had on our agenda was I had some recent new hope for the sixth seed for the Timberwolves, but I'm pretty sure that's going to go away very soon. So this may be all of our newcomers for the foreseeable future.
Sixth seed for one day, and everyone was like, yes! And
then 16 they hours
on the road at Dallas, yeah. And everyone's like, they're not even making the playoffs.
It's over. This is a disaster. Well, they have to play the Suns and they have to play the Celtics, who are all of a sudden a juggernaut. They have to play Dallas again. Anyway, it was a very fun 16 hours when we were a sixth seed. And I actually hate to admit it. So basically every year, because this newfangled playoff system, Chicken, obviously 1 through 8 used to make it. Now it's just 1 through 6, 7, 8 plays 9 and 10 for like a play-in tournament thing. And so every time there's a 7 seed or an 8 seed, they hate this new stupid gimmicky bullshit, because right now in the olden times, 3 years ago, we would be very happy. We are for sure locked in as a 7 seed. There's no way around it. We'd be preparing for the playoffs. Now I have to stress and sweat and panic every single day because we're going to be in this part of this plan. And I hate to admit that that's probably what they were intending all along. They love this amount of stress, and the Wolves are playing very hard, right? They would never have been doing this same exact thing because they're like, well, we're the 7 seed, who gives a shit? We can't be 8, we can't be 6, who cares?
Sure.
I gotta say, that's, you know, the thing about that 7-8 play-in game in the NBA, it's a little bit like, well, you win, you're in the playoffs, you lose, you still got another chance. Mm-hmm. But right now it's looking like you win that 7-8 game, you play the Grizzlies. You That's lose what, that 7-8 game. You're either out of the playoffs or you're playing the Suns, which means you're out of the playoffs.
Yep. Yep. That's a big game. That's one game.
That's a huge game.
I don't know. It'll take you guys 10 more times of explaining the playoffs to me for me to understand.
If
you're the 5 seed.
My pleasure.
You play 14. Oh, so if you that kind of sucks, because if you lose to a 14 and your season's done, no.
You get transferred into the East Conference.
Wait, what? Lose in the playoffs and you're not done. I don't think I'll ever fully understand what the hell you're talking about.
It's very gimmicky.
No, you're not done. You just scooch over here. So it's like double elimination. No, not for everybody.
Mm-mm. No. Just for two teams.
Two of the 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we went over the baseball one, what, last week or the time before, yeah. And I've already forgotten it. Like, I would absolutely fail a quiz on the new baseball playoff system right now. I have no idea how many teams are in.
We talked a lot about it.
How many? Is there a one game? There, I think the one games are out, but there are three games, and they're all home. It's just
I threw a chair. I was so angry, and I don't remember what I even threw a chair over.
You flipped it over. Yeah, you were still on video at that point. That was fun. I enjoyed that. You were mad. So they're all getting worse. The NFL, just this last year, they changed theirs up too, right? Only one team gets a bye now, so they got an extra team in. The NHL, they've actually been on that a little bit longer. They started doing some weirdo divisional stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be 10 years ago now, right? They were maybe they were the pioneers of weird playoffs. Got to follow the NHL's lead if you can.
The only thing that remains true with those other three leagues compared to the NBA is when you lose in the playoffs, you're done. That's the oddest. That's the only one I don't think I'll get over.
Two cracks at it.
But not if you're one of the top teams. Only if you're in the bottom do you get two cracks.
Yep. Well, if you're in the top six, you have a regular playoff series, best of five. So, you can technically lose a couple games, but it's still a playoff series. But 7 and 8... they play each other, win and you're in, lose, and you play the winner of 9 and 10. I guess it's fun. It's intense. It's fun to watch, but it really sucks to be the seven seed for sure. Really very stressful. So that's not new. That part of, well, maybe that's new, John. We get to stress about a really good team.
Well, It's certainly different than most times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have no idea what the Wolves lottery odds are right now. They're none, I guess.
No, yeah. Can't be in there.
Yeah. This is way incredible. Better.
Yep. Okay. Let's wrap up.
A lot of teams around here that are trying to be good, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Yep. Good times. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh. Boy, that ended abruptly.
I'm pressing stop.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.